Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from his helpers, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is getting a little bit old. Pastor Vern, knowing that I'm going to the seminary, asked me to write a sermon and present it. And then he's gone and he makes you all listen to it. So my condolences in advance. But hopefully you find something in here that you can use to help strengthen your faith. A friend of mine who's a retired FBI agent wrote a book called Painting Over the Rust, a 20-year odyssey in the FBI. The book's a funny yet serious and sometimes cynical look at the author's career through the FBI. The title, Painting Over the Rust, it brings to mind very vivid images for me. As many people can tell you, when things are painted over, when they're rusty and we just cover them with paint, the problem down below is never solved. It looks nice on the surface, but the problem below isn't taken care of. It's hidden from view. The rust continues to eat away at the structure and the character, and people can ignore it as they don't see it. It's hidden under that deceptive layer of paint that would show the world that everything is okay. Left to itself, the rust spreads unnoticed to other areas beneath the surface. And why do they paint over the rust? They do it because it's easier. It doesn't hurt as much when we paint over the rust. It doesn't look as bad, it isn't as messy, and everyone can still feel good because on the surface, it's painted over. There's nothing wrong with it. But just below the surface is where all the problems lie. And as we see in the book, this goes for criminal activity, it goes for employee misconduct, and sometimes it goes for the leadership and the way the leadership conduct themselves. And it's easy to look down on them and say, you guys paint over the rust. That's bad. You work for us. But we really can't look down on them because we paint over the rust in our life. Sometimes we paint over the rust in our lives and the surface appears smooth while we have lingering problems just beneath the surface. We become so good at hiding it, sometimes we even convince ourselves everything is okay. We convince ourselves we don't need God. But the rust beneath the paint continues to eat away at us. We try to appear to family, friends, and coworkers like everything is fine, everything's okay. Sometimes we even try to appear in front of God as if we have no problems, we've done nothing wrong, everything's okay. Look at the paint, just don't look under it. And we continue with those brush strokes, hoping no one sees the truth that lies just beneath there as the rust continues to eat away. Just like Adam and Eve, we want to hide our sin. And just like Adam and Eve, God calls us to repentance so that he can restore us. We don't like it when our sins are shown to us. It shows that we were wrong. It shows we did wrong. It shows we did not follow the commands of God. Even if it's done so it can expose the rust, remove the rust, and restore us, we still don't like it because it means we were wrong. But if the rust is unresolved, it just continues below the surface. This is one reason that Martin Luther told us to confess our sins and drown the old Adam every day. We do this by having the helper remove our rust of sin so that our relationship with God is restored, so that the devil has no foothold in our lives, in our conscience. As we look at our gospel text today, Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples. This is on the Thursday, the original Maundy Thursday. He's in the upper room with the disciples. He's going to be betrayed in just a few hours, and he knows this. Nonetheless, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and he promises the Holy Spirit to us also. Now, note this as I try to emphasize some words a little bit more. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So he is asking, he has asked the Father. The Father is giving this to us, and he will be with us forever. But you also notice he said, another helper. So if there's another helper, that means, and that's the Holy Spirit, it also means that there was a first helper. So who was that first helper? I'll submit to you, it's a children's moment answer. Anybody have the answer? Who's the first helper? Can we say it together? Jesus. Yes, he was our first helper. Jesus, let's see, Jesus himself is the first helper that the Father sent. Jesus is a helper who came to pay for our sins through his life, death, and resurrection. He went to the cross so that we are justified before God. So when God sees us, he actually sees Jesus, and not our actions, but Jesus' actions. We are justified before God because of what Jesus did. Jesus restores us with God. The second helper is the Holy Spirit. He gives faith to us to believe and receive the gifts that the first helper won for us on the cross and through his resurrection with the empty tomb. Together they work to remove, to expose our sin, our rust, and to remove it and restore us to God. Something the confirmation students learned this last year is that the law of God has three uses. The first use is to curb our sin. The second use is to mirror or show us our sin. And the third use is to rule or guide us. And many of you probably remember this maybe from confirmation. Some of you, it might have been a few decades ago like me, but nonetheless, the three uses of the law. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to mirror our sin. He shows us our sin so that this rust can be repented of, so it can be cleansed from us, so it can be cleaned, and so it can be removed. He shows us our sin so that then we can go to the third use of the law, which is to rule and guide us, so we live our lives in accordance with the commands of God and the will of God. And as a confirmation class can tell you, also, when we're convicted of our sins, we turn back to God and we repent. And God is good and gracious to forgive our sins. This allows us to be restored as our rust of sin is removed due to Christ's death and resurrection. The law, as I said, then rules and guides our actions. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't paint over the rust of sin. We've all felt that convicting of the Holy Spirit when we've done things wrong before. The Holy Spirit, he locates every little spot of rust in us, and he keeps showing it to us, and it doesn't feel good. It feels bad. We don't like it because the devil, the world, and our flesh would tell us that God won't forgive us again. They would tell us that we've just sinned too many times, that we've done this one. We keep asking for forgiveness, but we keep doing this sin over and over and over. God's done. He's not going to forgive us. That's what the devil, the world, and the flesh will tell us. The devil, the world, and our flesh would tell us that Jesus can't forgive this sin, because they want, the devil, the world, and the flesh want you to just paint over that sin, not repent of it. The Holy Spirit that is in us and with us reminds us that Jesus paid for all of our sins. We're convicted by the Holy Spirit because, unlike the world, we are baptized children of God. We were baptized to wash away that original sin. We know the Holy Spirit and we hear him because he is in us and he is with us, just as Jesus promised. Jesus wants our relationship with God the Father restored, and he justifies us before the Father. The Holy Spirit works on us through the actions towards each other and how we live in the world to bring us into compliance with how God would have us live. When we repent and allow that rust to be removed, we're totally forgiven and we are restored. While it's uncomfortable, it also shows us and reminds us that the Holy Spirit is with us and in us. People are born into this world with original sin. They have no desire on their own to know God. As long as they're a part, as long as they are part of the world, they neither hear nor see the Helper. It's like he doesn't even exist. And it might cause some people who are not Christians, who do not believe in God, it might cause some people to believe that there is no God. Or maybe they're going to make a false God that will not expose their rust. A false God of their own making who will allow them to just keep painting over their sins as they're slowly eaten away on the inside. The world rejects the helpers because the world would have us paint over the rust of sin and blame God or even ignore God instead of turn to him. The world rejects the helpers, but you're here. And people on Facebook are also tuned in and listening. You're in church. You came to hear the word of God. You came to confess your sins. You came to be forgiven for those sins that we've all committed. You didn't listen to the lies of the world. Why didn't we listen to the lies of the world? It's because Jesus and the Holy Spirit are in us and with us. We know them. We try to keep God's commands. And through the waters of baptism, that was washed, the original sin was washed away. Earlier, we confessed our sins, and you were pronounced absolved of your sins. The rust was removed. Just last week, we celebrated Holy Communion. We received the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus loved us so much that even though he knew that he was going to be going to the cross in just a few hours, on that Monday, Thursday, he knew he would be betrayed and go to the cross in just a few hours, he wouldn't leave us alone as orphans. He was not going to leave us wandering around this rusty world of sin. He sent the Helper who proceeds from him and the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He sent the Helper who spoke by the prophets. We confess this in the Nicene Creed. Our eternal Helper, whose job it is to show us the rust of our sins so it can be removed, so that we are restored in a right relationship with God. Today's Mother's Day. And one thing about mothers, they don't like rust either. Moms don't paint over the rust. They get in there, they work with you to ensure that the rust is removed. They keep picking away and chipping away at it, grinding away at it at times. And at times we may call it nagging. But it's because they love you. It's because they know if this continues, it will eat away at you, and it might turn to something bad minutes from now, hours, weeks, days, decades. They don't care. They don't like to do it. We don't like to have them do it. But it's because they love you, and that's why they do it. They want you to be as good as you can, to be the best you can. Maybe they nag you about coming to church. Listen to them. There's a reason. It's because they love you. We can resent it at times, but moms do it because they love you. It's part of their vocation as a mother. They do it because they know that it will just continue to grow and weaken you. So they keep grinding away, but it's out of love to make us better. So thank them today. And the Holy Spirit also continues to work the will of God, calling in us and through us, calling us to live a God-pleasing life, calling us to have our rust exposed, removed, and restored. With God, no amount of rust is too much to be removed and restored, to be forgiven. God did this because he loves you, and he wants you to be with him rust-free for eternity. We have hope in the resurrection of Christ, and we have hope to be with God for eternity, free of sin. Now to the mothers and those who fulfill the vocation of mother, keep picking away at that rust, keep grinding away, even when it's not pleasant for us, even when it's not pleasant for you, keep grinding away, because the Holy Spirit works through us. God works through creation to help correct creation and get it to the will of God. So keep grinding away, keep picking away at the rust. And for everyone else, when we're shown our sin by the Holy Spirit, It's because he is with us and in us. He's working God's will to sanctify us. So while it may be uncomfortable, it's a good thing as he's removing that. And when we are shown our sin, thank God that we can hear and know this helper. It's a sign to us that we truly are children of his. So when we sin, return to the Lord and seek his forgiveness, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.